I have a sermon that I want to preach. It's called The Dawning Light this morning. The Dawning Light. I think Tom's message last week was a really good message, Tom. Thank you. And when Tom shared with me, he came to me during the week and he said, we were just sharing, he goes, I feel like the Lord gave me this word. And I said, absolutely. And so glad that you ministered last week. And I think many people's lives touched. And as I was talking this morning, because I know it's Mother's Day and I was wanting to preach, I felt like the Lord said, no, just preach this message. Now, there are some people that I know that today's message will be a reminder to you. You're not currently in where I'm going to be speaking to you, but it'll be a reminder to you of the good things God did for you and as he brought you out of some dark places. And there are some people for whom this message is center stage, right in the bullseye of where you're living. And there are some people for whom in the future you're going to go, well, I want to go back. What was that message called? Let me go and hear it again. Many of you heard the story that Tony Campolo shares about his pastor and how they every year they have this like preach-off in their church. You know, they have four or five preachers and they all preach, and then they don't call it the preach-off. That's kind of behind the scenes, but basically it's what it is, right? And he said he got up and he began to preach, and he loves it when the crowd gets behind him, and so he started slow and he began to build up, and the crowd started, amen, go, you know, preach it, brother. And he said he got the wind in his sails and he began to preach and the words began to flow and it was eloquent and it was fiery and the crowd was with him and they were, whoo, and he was, and he finished up in standing ovation and he walked down and he sat down next to his pastor. And his pastor looked at him and he said, that was pretty good. And he goes, yeah, I was on fire. He said, pastor, you're up next. You think you can beat that? And his pastor just laughed. He said, yeah, watch this. And his pastor got up and he began to talk about Easter Friday. Talked about the crucifixion. And he said, it's Friday. And the skies are black. And the day is ugly. And it's the kind of weather that makes people rush indoors. And the Sadducees are plotting. Judas is betraying, the Romans are mocking, the crowd is out of control. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And he said the crowd began to say, amen, a little bit of a whisper here and there. It's Friday, he said, and Herod is scoffing, and his soldiers are beating on Jesus, and back and forth, and they forced a crown of thorns on his head, and they beat him with sticks, because it's Friday, and it's dark. And Pilate has him flogged, and there's no hope to be found, and joy and laughter have fled, and dread is ruling, because it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And the more he preached, and the more animated he got, it's Friday, he said, and the devil is laughing, and Mary is crying, and the disciples are running, and the crowd is mocking because it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. There's no victory here. It's just pain and sorrow and agony, and they've nailed his hands and his feet to the cross because it's Friday. The heavens are closed. God's face is turned away. The punishment of cruel men is in charge. Here, it's Friday. And tears are our bread, and all hope has fled, and it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. Arrogance, men's plans and schemes and self-congratulations are loud because it's Friday. The crowd is rude, and their questions are loud. But Sunday's coming. Small people, bad sinners, have gathered together to stare because it's Friday. There you go. And they mock every word he says, and they scorn every promise he made. And if you're all that, why don't you come down and save yourself, they said. And the crowd laughs mockingly because it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. And the glory of God has not yet shaken the ground. And resurrection power has not yet destroyed every plan of the evil one. But Sunday's coming. See, it may be bad now, but we chose our side. And our Sunday is coming. Death will be defeated. Sin will be decimated. Accusation will be destroyed. Condemnation will be broken. Prisoners will be made free. And all of creation will be liberated because our Sunday is coming. And by the end of that sermon, every person in the room was standing on their feet and yelling at the top of their lungs. Whenever he presented, it's Friday, but they all shouted, but Sunday's coming. And he stopped at the end and he said, remember that. And he walked off the stage. Now, I'm not that preacher and you're not that audience. Plainly. But that's the message. Sunday's coming. And there are some people sitting in this place and it's dark and it's unhappy and it feels hopeless and you're discouraged and you haven't seen the promise and your arms are getting weak and it feels like your strength is failing and you don't have a good grasp. And if I had to ask you honestly to come up here on stage and give me a testimony about your life, you'd tell me about the Friday-ness of your life, about the darkness of the skies, about the impotence of how you feel, about the lack that is in your life, about the before picture of the testimony. But Sunday's coming. And whether you believe and how much you believe that Sunday is coming really makes a difference to how you can handle this moment. Because Jesus, in the midst and in the darkest time of that day, said in victory, it is finished. I've done it all. And so I want to talk about the watchman's post from Psalm 130. The psalmist said, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. Some of you in a dark time, some of you in discouragement, some of you will understand what this means. My entire being longs for the resurrection, longs for the appearing of God, longs for the promise to be made true. I wait for the Lord. My whole being is waiting for God. And in his word, I put my hope. So Jack picked up in the worship this morning. We put our hope in your word. I wait for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. More than the watchman wait for the morning. There's something of a deep yearning inside a watchman. I don't know if any of you have stood guard. I have stood guard many times in the military. And that 4 to 6 o'clock shift in the mornings when you stand in guard and it's freezing cold and you're watching frost form on your rifle and you're walking around and it's minus 10 degrees and there's dark shadows all around you and you long for the morning. When will the morning come? You know it's coming. Doesn't change your longing for it. Yearning for the morning light to bring warmth and clarity to the shadows that you've been watching all night and peace to your heart and bring new hope and bring a sense of companionship to the day. Some feel like you've been in a long, dark season of the soul. Sunday's coming for you. And we look longingly for the dawn. When will this light grow full? I'm tired of staring into darkness and shadows. When will my circumstances change? When will I see the hand of God? When will I be able to give up and give a testimony of victory? When does this light turn, this dark turn to light? So let me invite you up to this watchman's post, waiting for the Lord, putting your hope in the Lord. Don't wait for a second. Don't for a second listen to those who say, just put aside the promises of God. They're obviously causing you stress. Just put them aside. Just drop your vision. Just expect less. Don't expect what God called you to. Look around you. It's dark. Look around you. The promises have not yet come true. The promises have failed. They haven't failed. They're just not yet here. Sunday's coming. And in the middle of the dark season and in the middle of the tough times, when the discouragement screams the loudest, is the moment when we go, I'm going to put my hope in my God. And there's some people, no, this is not for everybody in this room, I understand this, but there are some people in this room, I'm speaking to you. I wait for the Lord, the psalmist said. My whole being waits for him. Okay, but it feels uncomfortable, this bare nerve of longing. It feels like my whole body is just one raw nerve of longing. When, God, are you going to show up in my life? Sunday's coming for you. The change is on the way. Let me invite you up to this watchman's post, because we know something about our God. We know who he is. We understand his ways. We have heard his promises. So I want to just examine what the Bible promises about the way of the upright. There's a promise left out in the Bible for anybody who will find it and anybody who wants to believe it. It's available for you. Because you have been promised an ever-brightening way. Proverbs 4 says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path of the righteous is like that first little glimmer of dawn. When you look at the horizon and it's brighter than the darkness around it, it says the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, and it peaks over the horizon and the sky flares with light and things start to change. And in a very extraordinarily short space of time, that which was dark and hidden and presented fears is now light before your eyes. And the path of the righteous is ever brightening. It gets brighter and brighter as you proceed. You know what this means for you and for me? That this right here is the darkest it'll ever be. Not one amen. This right now, these circumstances, this hardship, this fear, this calamity, this sense of foreboding is the darkest it'll be, because if you'll take this promise, if you'll reach out and grab it, it's left there for anybody who wants to believe it. If you'll grab hold of this, say, that's me, that's mine, I'll take that promise. And if you're in a time where it feels like it's dark and you're not hearing God and your heart is discouraged and your strength is almost gone, you're telling me it's Friday. I want to promise you the path gets brighter from here. But Greg, it's been a long battle and I'm not sure I can go on. And I just want to tell you the people around you are here to strengthen your arms and help your legs. And we're going to lift up your eyes together with you, and we're going to call on our God. We're going to put our hope in our God, and we're going to see the glory of God come, because I promise you, light is going to come and get ever brighter on the path that you're walking. Light will shine on your way so that your path will be as bright as the midday sun. This is the way, this is the path of the righteous. It shines ever brighter to the noonday sun. You have been promised an ever-brightening way. I want you to dare to reach out and grab hold of that by faith. Because it'll stir something in you. It'll give you hope. Some people, as I said, some of you, you're not in this space. Some of you are flying. It's on the crest of the wave, on the heights of the land. Bless you. I pray it never end for you. But some of you in a dark place. And for those of you in a dark place, for those of you who, for whom fear is seems like a close whisperer, we're going to banish that today. We're going to break something in the spirit today off God's people. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3 says, and we who with unveiled faces all contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. Which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, this promise of it gets ever brighter is consistent, Old Testament, New Testament. If you'll just reach up your heart and go, Lord, I'm trusting you for tomorrow brighter than today. That's always going to be true. Tomorrow is always going to be brighter than today. See, Greg, but it's so dark right now. Well, let me take you to Psalm 112. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Isn't that a cool promise? You may see not one, you may not be able to see your hand in front of your face, it's so dark, but even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Well, I don't know if I've been living well enough. If you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been absorbed in Christ, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ. He has sanctified you. He has made you holy. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the kingdom of the saints of light, and he has poured out his pleasure on you. You are qualified, and your life in Christ is destined for an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Spirit, who is the Lord. Amen. Even in darkness. Greg, let me just tell you my story. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. I'm in the dark right here. Well, there's a great hope for you on the way. A great hope is on the way. Stay the course. You see that faint glimmer on the horizon? Yeah. That's the Lord's chariot speeding towards you. And until that hits, we'll stand around you. If you can't see anything, we can see things. You can see by the light of what we can see. But we'll stand together and we'll see God come through. Because this is a family. This is about what God wants to do among us, not just for individuals. I've been looking and praying and hoping for so long, Greg. It seems like everybody else is seeing the blessing and the fruit and the growth and the release. Everybody else is being blessed. Oh, woe is me. You all look so spiritual, like you never think that. But that's one of the biggest lies of the enemy. He comes to all of us and goes, oh, you know, look at them. Look at those people. They're just so spiritual. You're a mess. And the danger is, the beauty is, we get testimonies every single week. People getting up and saying, just let me tell you about the goodness of God. And we go, oh, hi, amen. But after a while, the enemy goes, yeah, when last did you get up and testify? See, everybody else is getting blessed, and you're the one. No, you're not. Even in this darkness, light will dawn for you. This morning I came to declare a new light dawning. I came to banish hopelessness and discouragement. I came to battle with unbelief because God is still faithful and his word is still true and his promise still stands. And his love for you is undiminished and his care and his steadfast love and his answers are on the way. Light will dawn to you. So let me speak peace to you for just a moment so that together we can lift up our voices and be heard on high. Psalm 97 says, light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright. Light shines on the righteous. I hope you're getting hungry to say, Lord, I just want to step out into the light. Could shine your light on me, Lord. Shine your light into my path. Open a way in front of my eyes. Bring forth the promises you promised me. That we put aside the weak knees and the wobbly hands and the swaying hearts and we go, no, I know who I've believed. I know my God is worthy. I know his word is true. I know his love is steadfast. I know that he cannot be unfaithful to me. I'm going to look up to my God, and despite the circumstances of my life, I'm going to say, my day is getting brighter. My hope is getting stronger, and my possibilities are exploding faster than I can tell. We're going to banish meager possibilities this morning. Because when light hits your soul, I promise you, you'll see his love is still real. And it's unfailing. And his tender care to you has always been there. So just let joy find its way in. Let fear and frustration leave. Your Sunday has come. You realize there's not a whole bunch of points to the sermon, right? You realize I'm not, this is not deep and this is not a teaching. I'm just going to keep ringing this note. Like the opera singer came out, she sang and she went off the stage and somebody shouted, "Encore!" And then everyone was like, "What?" And she came back on and she sang and then she went off stage and they shouted, "Encore!" And she came out and she sang and she went off and they said, "Encore!" And she came out and she said, "No, really, my voice is tired and I don't think I can." And a voice from the back said, "You're going to sing it till you get it right." I'm just preaching the same message until I see lights come on and then I'm going to stop. Arise, shine, for your light has come. It's Isaiah 60. This chapter is speaking about the days of the church. This is the glory chapter for the church. This is the prophecy of Isaiah after the suffering servant, after Isaiah 53, where he's been, after Isaiah 54, where I'll swear this to you, I'll never remember your sins anymore, and I'll never be angry with you again. And now we come to the church age in Isaiah, and he's prophesying about these days and about your inheritance. And this is what he says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises on you, and his glory appears over you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Don't back down now. Don't wither away. Don't shrink from this fight. You are in the fight of faith. Shine, your light has come. Say, that's great. What can I do? I'm going to take you, just for the sake of those who need something practical, I'm going to take you to the practical. So it's good. Psalm 42. My soul is downcast within me. Some of you can say that's true of me. Or hopefully that was true of me before you started preaching. Therefore, I will remember you. Psalmist says, I'm having a bad week. Life is dark. Things are heavy. There's not much strength. I don't have anything to push back with. I'm feeling deflated. I'm feeling defeated. And I'm downcast. So, because that's true, therefore, I will remember God in three places. From the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Let's talk about those three places quickly, because I want to end the sermon with you remembering three places. My soul is downcast. Therefore, this is a practical something I can do. I'm going to remember three things. I'm going to remember the land of the Jordan, which represents miraculous rescues. Because when God brought Israel through into their promised land, in the way he brought them into that promise was that he brought them through the Jordan and the river stood up and he brought them through on dry land. And the psalmist said, I'm going to remember you. Now, the amazing thing is the psalmist who wrote this was not there. Here's a little something, something. You don't have to have been there. You can just remember stories people told you about what God did. You don't even have to be your testimony. But he goes, my soul is downcast within me, so I'm going to remember you from the land of the Jordan. When God showed up in a pillar of fire, when God commanded his people, when they walked at a river in flood and the river stood up and they walked through on dry ground, he says, I'm going to remember my God who brought us miraculously into the promises he made. Drying up the Jordan so that the tribes could pass through the promised land. Every promise is true, and it comes through the land of Jordan. Every place of rest that God brings us into comes by the miraculous working of God's hand. I want you to take a moment. I know every single person in this who knows the Lord Jesus has a testimony of when God brought you into a miraculous deliverance. You remember, God has delivered you. I want you to, my soul is downcast. Therefore, I remember the place of the Jordan. I remember what happened in the land of the Jordan. Secondly, he said, I'll remember you from the heights of Hermon. And Hermon represents powerful encounters. The place of glorious victory because of God's word, his revelation. When you heard God speaking to you. Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, were considered two invincible kings. And the Lord says, go. So Israel sends this message. They're passing through the land of Sihon, and then Og is behind it, and they say, listen, we just want to go through your land. We promise you're not even going to drink any water that's on your land. We're just going to go through here. And the king of Sihon says, no way. And he comes out, and the Lord says, I provoked him. I'm going to give him to you. And they go, but he's invincible. The Lord says, you ain't seen nothing yet. You talk about invincible. So the Lord destroys Sihon. And then he says to them, don't worry, Og is going to be like Sihon. They go, yeah, but Og's even uglier and more invincible than Sihon. The Lord says, watch me. And so they destroy Og. And they take over their lands. And from then onwards, God says, see these people, they go, oh, Lord, they're powerful. They're going to be like Sihon and Og. That's a bunch of times in the scripture. Sihon and Og. Remember? Yeah. Same again. I'll remember you from the heights of Hermon. Sihon and Og lived there. I'll remember you, Lord, from the heights of Hermon, where you spoke to us out of the thundercloud, where the glory of God showed up and demonstrated his power, where he defeated enemies. And there are people sitting in this room when God has given you powerful encounters. You've met with him. He's drawn back the curtain. He's shown himself to you. There's been moments, I'm pretty sure everybody in this room who knows the Lord has had that moment where God encountered you, and you can't explain it to everybody else because it's too deep and it's too sometimes too strange that you kind of don't even want to talk about it with other people. But you and I both know we've had those moments in God, and I'm telling you, the psalmist said, my soul is downcast, but I remember those moments. I remember the heights of Hermon. What's your heights of Hermon moment? Thirdly, Mount Mizar. Mount Mizar stands for tender moments. We love spoke its sweetest language to you. And your closest fellowship was revealed with God, your most tender moments with God. Some of you, when I talk about that, the Holy Spirit's already whispering to you. Remember this. Remember when I loved you. Remember when I gave you peace. Remember when I spoke tenderly to you. Remember when I changed your greatest fears. Remember that time where you and I shared a sweetness. Practically. I want you to remember miraculous rescues, powerful encounters, in tender moments. And we're going to close the sermon early, it appears. With just 2 or 3 minutes of you and the Lord remembering. Because the promise of the Lord for anybody who will dare to lay hold of it is that light will dawn on your pathway. And it becomes an ever brightening pathway. And there is surely a future hope for you. And that hope will never be cut off. And that if you would but just lift up your eyes and just shake out the tired arms and the feeble knees and stand up again and arise and shine because your glory has come, and take hold again in full hope and in trust and say, but I'm going to trust my God. That there is breakthrough for you today. There is hope restored. There is discouragement destroyed. But for many of you, this little exercise is not just going to help you this morning. It's going to drive you into your weeks and months that lie ahead, and you will remember him. So I'm going to invite you, just in the next few minutes, if you would, ask the Lord to remind you of a miraculous rescue that he effected for you, a powerful encounter you had with him in a tender moment where he drew you close. Would you just find one example? Many of you already got 3 or 4 in each 10. Just find one. So I'm just going to leave you, we're just going to be quiet for a minute. Do you think we could have some worship? Maybe somebody, Ross. Thank you. And I'm going to invite you, just for the next 2 minutes, to ask the Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer now. We're going to ask Him. And I want you to just remember it. This is I know this is introspective. I know this is tender. But I think this is what the Lord wants for many people here today. So, Father, we come in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that by Your Spirit, You would remind us. You'd remind us, Lord, of miraculous rescues and powerful encounters and tender moments. That, Lord, there would be something of the breath of God on these memories. Lord, we say with the psalmist, I will remember You from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. So, Lord, here we come. Speak with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Why don't you just take a few minutes? Let the Lord speak to you. Father, You've already proven to us not only You're willing but also able to bring us, Lord, into miraculous rescues and powerful encounters and tender moments. So many testimonies in this room, Lord. So, Lord, we remember. We remember Your beauty. We remember, Lord, who You are. And we have hope. Vibrant, powerful, joyful hope that our day gets brighter, that our future gets better, that our King becomes clearer to our view. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break discouragement off Your people. I break bitterness and accusation. I tear it away. No more, not again. Hopelessness is banished now, broken. Unbelief has no root or hold in this place. But joy and light and hope and laughter, these are our portion, Lord. And I want to lift up every person in the room, Lord, who felt when we started in that they were in darkness, and I break off that darkness and we speak light to them, Lord. The joy of the Lord, a new hope, a new encouraged heart. And I pray, Father, that in a miraculous space of time, the breakthroughs begin to flow. And I thank You, Lord, into the circumstances that we'd hear testimony after testimony after testimony of the Lord stepping in and saying, this, let me show you, is the way. And Lord, whether it changes immediately or not, a I'm here to say, my hope is in you. I will not be moved. I will not be budged. I will not be backed down. My hope is in you. I will remember you. I will remember you. I will remember you, my God. So, Lord, I speak peace to your people and comfort and encouragement and strengthened hands and strengthened legs. I ask, Lord, that when your people open up your word, that it would jump up to them, speak to them, that you, Lord, would be Emmanuel, God with us. So we say, Lord, peace and strength and beauty to your people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your Lord, and tell them their sins have been paid for. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you paid and we have your comfort. Give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise God. Praise God.